Blog Talk Radio.
We have to know this temple and its formation so forth and so on. It's dimensions and everything. And we have to commit them to heart because we're coming back for our people who know this information. It's the reason that he gave it, that we might know it. And so we want to be faithful to the word of the Most High in this regard. I pray that all is well with everybody and that you are blessed and that you are ready to be in and eat from the word of the Most High on this evening. We are going to sound the shofar, and then we are going to do our statement of faith and pray in. All right. And is my eyesight going bad on me? All right, amen. Our statement of faith. Let me have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads. Let us turn toward the east, the way that the sun comes up. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me according to Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Yah. Thank you, Father. Thank you for being our provider. Thank you for being our Elohim. Thank you for first loving us. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen, and amen, and amen. The book of 1 Kings, chapter 8, verse 46 through 53. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 46 through 53. If they sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captive unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land whether they were carried captives, and repent, and make supplication unto thee, in the land of them that carried them captive, saying, we have sinned and have done perversely. We have committed wickedness. Turn unto thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray unto thee toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, the city which thou hast chosen and the house which I have built for thy name. Then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause. And forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all their transgressions wherein they have transgressed against thee. And give them compassion before them who carried them captive, that they may have compassion on them. For they be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron. That thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto them in all that they call for unto thee. For thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses, thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah, Elohim. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, but more so the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. The book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 13. And if you will turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians, chapter 13. And we're going to get verses 1 through 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 6. This is the third time I am coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. I told you before and foretell you as if I was present. The second time, and being absent now, I write to them which heretofore have sinned, and to all others, that if I come again, I will not spare. Since you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you were is not weak, but is mighty in you. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of Elohim. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of Elohim toward you. Examine yourself, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves, how that Yeshua HaMashiach is in you, except you be reprobate. But I trust that you shall know that we are not reprobate. All right, amen. Just an additional reading that I wanted to do on this evening. Examine yourselves. Every day we need to examine ourselves. We need to examine our walk. We need to examine if we are living the life that Elohim would have us to live. Are we seeking him with our whole heart? Are we willing to serve him with our all, to give everything to him? For this is what Elohim requires of us, that we give him our all every day. The book of Ezekiel, chapter 1. And we are going to be examining, you know, the word of Yah through the prophet Ezekiel. Ezekiel comes around when Israel is having some great problems. And they're having some great problems. I would say the Most High is having great problems with them. We have to understand that the Most High wants a people who are going to love him of their own volition. The Most High does not want to make us love him. But if we look at his time that he reveals to us, and we look at his micro nation, Israel, is a microcosm of the earth, of the earth, all the nations of the earth. And what he instills in Israel is what he wants from the earth. But he's got to deal with his priesthood first. And so we all should know by now that our forefathers just didn't do what they were supposed to do. And no matter what prophet we go into, you know, it always seems to be the same thing. But Ezekiel has some things in his ministry, in the Most High's working through him, that he gets to see some things that some other prophets don't get to see. And so we want to sort of walk through him. We will probably do this whole book sooner or later, but we know we're going to be doing the temple out of Ezekiel, and we've been spending a lot of time in those chapters. But let us start with chapter 1, because Ezekiel sees a vision, and what he describes as coming, I want you to pay particular attention to, because the Most High, he rides the angels. He has a group of angels, or if you are scientific, he's got a spaceship or something that he rides. Now, it says it's the angels, but other men have read this and interpreted it to be, you know, some type of spaceship that the Most High rides in. We're going to stick with the scriptures, and these are some angels, and when we read these descriptions, I want you to sort of picture them in your mind. And how it describes the wings moving and things like this. Because always the proof is in the details. And so, you know, I have to admit, I have not studied Ezekiel as deeply as I ought to. And the Most High has even shown me, even in the numbers and the measurements of the temple, there is hidden knowledge. And the Most High will have to reveal it. What it stands for. But we want to pay particular attention because Isaiah, that prophet, he's given, the Most High uses him to tell us about himself, about the Most High. Ezekiel is coming and the Most High uses him to show Israel and us, you know, Israel's error. So let's start. Ezekiel chapter 1, starting in verse 1. Now it came to pass in the 13th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives of the river Chebar, that the heavens were open, and I saw visions of Elohim. And in the fifth day of the month, which was the fifth year of the king Jehoiakim's captivity, the word of Yah came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Chebar. And the hand of Yah was there upon him. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud, and a fire enfolding itself. So imagine you're looking in the sky, and all of a sudden you see these clouds moving towards you, and they're not moving at the speed of clouds. They're moving kind of quick. And you're seeing these clouds, but you're seeing a fire as well in the sky. And this fire seems to be enfolding on itself. Like it's emitting, but it seems to fold back in on itself. This is what Ezekiel was saying, enfolding itself. And a brightness was about it. And out of the midst thereof, as the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire. Now you got this fire in this cloud. And then Ezekiel is saying, hey, out of the midst of the fire is coming this color of amber. Now, when we find out where this color of amber is coming from, then we realize that the Most High, in his own right, is very bright. He himself is very bright in the color of amber. So for Ezekiel to see this amber color inside of this fire that's enfolding on itself, this amber color had to be very bright to stand out. And I look, verse 5. Also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. So he's seeing four creatures. He said they got a body the shape of a man. Everyone had four faces, and everyone had four wings. So four beasts that had the body of a man, but they all have four faces. So you got a head with four faces. And he's going to tell us what these faces are, and they all had four wings. And their feet were straight feet. The sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot. And you know, if you ever looked at a cow, their hoof is kind of rounded or like a D shape, but straight. So if you look at a letter D and you were to build it up so that it was three-dimensional, that's how a calf's foot looks, with a sort of a slit in the front, a small slit, but not really on cows. Looks like a D. And you build that up, and he's saying this is the way that their feet look, like the feet of a cow or a calf. And they sparkle like the color of burnished brass. So these angels, these are not what he's seeing that's amber color. These four beasts that he's seeing, they're not amber color. They are like brass. And they had the hands of a man under their wings and on their four sides. Now, the hands of a man on their wings, didn't say whether they're at the end of their wings, whether they're in the middle of the wings. Just said it's on their wings, so can't really put them anywhere. But I want you to pick up that they had hands on their four sides. That means they had hands on the front and the back and on their side of them. And they four had their faces and their wings. And the wings were joined one to another. So these wings are joined in such a way. And they turned not when they went. They went everyone straight forward. So these wings are pointed forward. It's almost like the wings on a fighter jet. Therefore, they're pointed forward, or like the blades on a helicopter. But these wings don't turn. So they, you know, because they don't turn, they would seem more so like the wings on a plane. The wings were joined one to another, and they turned not when they went. So the wings didn't turn. They're just there. And they went everyone straight forward. As for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man. So one of their faces was the face of a man and the face of a lion. And on the right side, and they had four had the face of an ox on the left side. And they four had the face of an eagle. So this has to be in the back. So it tells you they got the face of a man that's in the front. And on the right side, the face of a lion. And on the left side, let me read that again. Four had the face of a man and the face of a lion on the right side. And they four had the face of an ox on the left side. And then they got the face of an eagle. That only leaves the back part of their head to be as the face of an eagle. Thus were their faces, and their wings were stretched upward. Two wings of every one were joined one to another, and they too covered their bodies. So they had four wings, two covering their bodies, two that were joined going up. And they went every one straight forward, whether the spirit was to go. Now, where the spirit was to go, and I really do believe in this verse that this word spirit should have been capitalized here. Why? Because of who's actually riding them. And we're going to find that out in a minute. But everywhere in the scripture where you see the word spirit, the word spirit should be capitalized because it signifies the Most High. They went and they turned not when they went. And as for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire and like the appearance of lamps. So they kind of glowed. Now, listen to what he says right here. Their appearance was like burning coals of fire and the appearance of lamps. And it went up and down among the living creatures. Now, this glow that he's talking about is going up and down in these creatures. And the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning. So you imagine this coming at you, this fire that's unfolding on itself, and then you see these four beasts, these four creatures, and they have wings, and they themselves, you know, he can see their feet, and their feet are straight like a calf's foot. The wings are straight forward, but they're joined, two of them, and two of them cover their bodies. And they are the color of this, like a coal, this light that's in them is like the color of a coal or a burnt ember. But this ember, this brightness is going up and down, either between them or in them. And this is what he's seeing, then that it was bright. And the living creatures ran and returned at the appearance of a flash of lightning. So what he's seeing is, it's almost like they're darting here and there, but together as fast as lightning. So if you can imagine a lightning strike, they're right there. And if you imagine a flash again, they're over there. And you imagine another flash, they're somewhere else. This is how fast they're moving. Now, as I beheld the living creatures, behold, one wheel upon the earth for the living creatures with his four faces. So each of these creatures, they got straight legs, but at the end of their leg is a wheel. And this wheel is, as we're going to describe in a minute, is like a wheel within a wheel. So that when they move, they all move together in whatever direction that the spirit wants to go. And when they went upon their four sides, and they turned not when they went. So these wheels, however he's describing it, he said that they don't turn wherever they go. They just go, they go, but he don't see any turning in them. As for their rings, they were so high that they were dreadful, and their rings were full of eyes round about them four. Now, these rings, he's talking about the rings that are inside the wheel, a wheel within a wheel. He said these wheels, these rings, had they were high. They weren't small. So they weren't little bitty wheels. These were big wheels at the foot of each of these beasts. And they had, he says, eyes in them. And when the living creatures went, the wheels went by them. And when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up. So you can see why some people would think that this is some type of flying machine. Some type of flying machine, but he's saying that these are creatures with the face of a man, a lion, an ox, and an eagle. So, you know, it has to make you wonder how marvelous are the works of the Most High. And these creatures that he's riding, for Ezekiel to, he's going into detail. Now, you know, I say to everyone, when you are looking at something that you have never seen before and you don't have a name for it, and you don't understand everything that you're looking at, you describe it the best way that you can. So he's describing the ride, the Most High's ride, and how he's coming in this chariot, or this ride that set fire or is in fire, and it's powered by four creatures. Okay. And these creatures are really holding up the Most High. Let's see this. Okay. And when the living creatures went, the wheels went by them. And when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up. Whithersoever the spirit was to go. Again, I say the spirit should be capitalized so that you understand that it's the Most High. Wheresoever the spirit was to go, they went. There was their spirit to go. And the wheels were lifted up over against them. For the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. When these went. And when those stood, these stood. And when those were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up over against them. So these wheels, like they were landing gear, and they folded up against them when they raised up off the ground. The wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. And the likeness of the firmament upon the head of the living creature was the color of terrible crystal. Now, I don't know what the color of terrible crystal is. Maybe the scriptures will give us a hint somewhere else. Stretched forth over their heads above, and under the firmament were their wings straight, and one toward the other. So each of these, they got four wings, but two of them cover their body. The other two are stretched out, and they touch, according to what we heard read earlier. Everyone had two, which covered on this side, and everyone had two that covered on that side, their body. So they got four wings, two on the right side, two on the left side. And when they went, I heard the noise of their wings, like the noise of great waters. Now, we know that a lot of times waters in the scripture represent people, okay, represent people. As the voice of the Almighty, the voice of speech. So what he's and I'm hearing is it sounds like a lot of people talking, but he's also telling you that when the Most High talks, it's loud and it sounds like a lot of people talking. As the noise of a host, and a host is always in the scripture is representing more than one, a group. When they stood, they let down their wings. And there was a voice from the firmament that was above their head. So we got a space above their head. He says above their heads is this terrible crystal, the color of a terrible crystal, whatever that color is. And then on top of that, we have another space. So it calls it a firmament, everything above the ground. In relationship to this site that he's seen, the platform, this crystal platform that these angels have above their head, there's a space above it. And above the firmament that was above their heads was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone. So we got this crystal, and on top of it, this crystal platform, you have this throne that's the color of sapphire. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness of the appearance of a man. So he sees another form, and he says, this form looks like a man, has the shape and the body like a man. Above upon it. And I saw the color of amber. He saw amber coming from a distance in this fire. That's why I said this fire is bright, these clouds, or what he thinks is cloud, it could be smoke. But he sees this fire enfolding on itself as it's coming, but in the middle of that fire, he sees this color amber. Now, you know when fire burns and it's a big fire, it's bright. So for you to see something else, another color on the inside of this fire, that has to be extremely bright. He sees this appearance, he sees the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about within it. So this amber is that amber that is yellow-red, just like the fire. But this amber has a glow of its own for him to be able to see it through this fire. And from the appearance of his loins upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward, I saw as it were the appearance of fire. And it had a brightness round about it. So he's looking at this being on top of this platform, on his throne, and it's fire all around, and this being himself looks like he's on fire, but he's brighter than the fire because he can be seen coming. So put that picture in your mind. You look into the sky and you see this coming at you, and lightning's coming out the bottom of it. Fire is coming out the bottom of it. It is glowing orange and red, and the lights are moving up and down under the bottom of it. And you see these four beings, and you see their wings, you see their faces, and then you see who's on top. You see who's on top of it. Let me read verse 27 again. And I saw the color of amber as the appearance of fire round about within it. And from the appearance of his loins, so he's telling you now, I'm looking at this being who has the shape of a man, and from his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward, I saw as it were the appearance of fire, and it had the brightness round about it. And as the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud, in the day of rain. So he's also seeing this rainbow. Now, you've got to kind of got to ask yourself, where is this rainbow coming from? And from all my reading, it appears to be coming from the throne of the Most High. Okay? So was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of Yah. So Ezekiel had seen either in a vision or somewhere, a picture of the Most High, because he knew that this was the likeness of the glory of Yah. So whether he was given like Moses, you can see me from behind. This is what it appeared like fire and a rainbow. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of the one that spake, So he sees this vision. And even in this vision, his fear and admiration of when he knew who it was, he said, this looks like the Most High. This looks like Yah Elohim. And he went to his face in reverence and in fear. Ezekiel chapter 2. So we have the Most High arriving on this platform. It's darting around at the speed of lightning. You know, you see a flash, it's over here. You see a flash, it's over there. You see a flash, it's right in front of you. And then he's faced with these four beings, with these four wings, who have these wheels that are up under them. And when they rise up off the ground, the wheels fold up beside them. And he sees this platform with this made out of this crystal. But I don't know what color terrible crystal is. I think I might have to do some research on that. And on top of that, he sees this throne. And the being that's on this throne, he says the throne is the color of sapphire. And then the being that's on the throne is the color of amber, the color of yellow, reddish fire. From his whole body, because he says from the loins up, from the loins down, his whole body appeared like the color of fire, yellow, red, like the glow of molten lava. Ezekiel chapter 2. And he to me. Now this he is the Most High. And he's speaking to Ezekiel. And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. So Ezekiel is so afraid when he falls down, he just became weak. Now, you know, there's only a few instances, and I only know a couple of instances within the scriptures when people saw an angel that they didn't fall down in fear. Mary was one of them, and I believe you won't find that the shepherds, when the angel appeared to them, in the field to announce Messiah's birth, it didn't record that they were, you know, deathly afraid. But every time else, anytime somebody sees an angel, they get deathly afraid. Now here he is. He recognizes this color. He recognizes this rainbow. He recognizes who's coming to him. And it said to him, this looks like Yah, the Most High Elohim. And so he just sort of faints, falls down on his face, and he has no strength to be helped up. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. Now, I have to ask each and every one of you, you know, and the scriptures tell us, don't go back and judge those individuals. And so we're not going to judge them. But I want to ask you, if you saw the pillar of fire as the Most High was leading our forefathers out of Egypt, when he led them through the wilderness and protected them by this pillar of fire and then this pillar of cloud. Maybe if he had arrived this way, our forefathers might have had more fear But maybe the Most High didn't want to scare him like that way at that time. But he said, when I came down in Exodus chapter 19 and 20, when I came down to meet the people, I showed them a version that it was to make them fear. Now, Ezekiel is seeing something, and he's seen the Most High is allowing him to see him on this platform. And Ezekiel sort of just falls to pieces. Boom, hits the ground. As soon as he realized what he was seeing, who he was looking at, he just gets weak and falls out. And he tells, the Most High says, stand up. I'm going to send you to the children of Israel. Now, if you and I, if we experienced this, would this be enough for each one of us to fear the Most High and to serve him with everything that we have? Would we get the mind of the prophet? Because you will find only Moses questioning the Most High and talking to the Most High like you would your friend. Everybody else, and even Moses said when the vision came down on Mount Sinai that he trembled greatly. He was in fear. Before, when he saw the burning bush, and the burning bush talked to him, he didn't say he feared. He took off his shoes and he realized that he was addressing, the Most High to tell him who he was addressing. Moses, take off thy shoes. Because he's still looking at this bush in awe. For that where you stand, the ground that you stand on is holy ground. But then when the Most High came down, I'm going to meet the people. Even that sight had Moses trembling in fear. And so much so that even the people trembled so much they didn't want to go. No, you go. You go talk to him. We'll stay over here. Now Ezekiel is seeing this all by himself. And the Most High comes and says, Son of man, I send thee unto the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me even unto this day. For they are an impudent children. They are impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith Yah Elohim. So they have to know that Ezekiel is a prophet. And anything that Ezekiel says, any prophet says, must come to pass. According to the Most High, must come to pass, or else you are to disregard that prophet. So I'm sending you to them, and you are to say, Thus saith Yah Elohim. And they, whether they will hear, or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there has been a prophet among them. So the Most High is going to follow them with signs and wonders so that they can't, say, well, this, the Most High is not with him. You just a man talking. Just like he told Moses, I'm going to come down and I'm going to let the people hear me talking to you. And I'm going to talk to them so that they know from here forward that I speak to you and that I exist. So they won't have doubts whether you have a relationship with me or not. So he said, they're going to know that they got a prophet among them. And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns be with thee. So you're going to, there's going to be some briars stick you and thorns stick you. You're going to have some pricks and some pain here. Somewhat, but don't be afraid of their words. Don't be afraid of them. And thou dost well amongst scorpions. Be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. So we got to understand when the Most High sends someone amongst the people, Typically, people are not going to believe that this is a man or even a woman of the Most High. And especially if they come to chastise them. People always want a blessing from the Most High, but they don't want to hear no chastisement. And the Most High said, this is a rebellious people. So you think he's coming with blessings? No, he's not about to bless them. Verse 7, and thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. Now, when the Most High says you're most rebellious, and you got to realize who, you know, to disobey the Most High one time, to think about disobeying him one time, you got a rebellious heart. But to be constantly disobeying, you are most rebellious. You are that type of person that, you know, no matter what is said to you, no matter how it comes, who brings it, you're not going to believe it. And you're going to rebel against it. If it's brought to you nicely, you won't do it. If it's brought to you roughly, you won't do it. You're just rebellious. And this is what he's saying Israel is. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. But not thou be not rebellious like this rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. And when I looked, behold, a hand was sent unto me. And lo, a roll of a book was therein. I want you to eat this. And he spread it before me. And it was written within and without. There's writing on the inside of this book. And writings on the outside. And there was written therein lamentations and mournings and woes. So I'm going to send you unto this rebellious people. And I want you to eat this scroll, this book. And on the inside of this book and on the outside of this book are written lamentations and mournings and woes. This is what you're going to eat this, and you're going to regurgitate it to the house of Israel. The book of Ezekiel, chapter 3. We might go beyond chapter 4 today at the speed that I'm going. Moreover, he said unto me, son of man, eat that thou findest. Eat this roll and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth and he caused me to eat the roll. And he said unto me, son of man, cause thy belly to eat. And fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. And as he said unto me, son of man, go, get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them, for thou art not sent to a people of strange speech or of hard language, but to the house of Israel. I'm not sending you to strangers. I'm sending you to a people that know that they're your people, and they know your language. They know they're going to be able to hear your words, stand your words. Now, whether they will listen and do them, or whether they will hear and not do them, is going to be according to how I deal with them. Not to many people of a strange speech or a hard language, whose words thou canst not understand. Surely had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto thee. If I sent you to a strange people that whose language you didn't even know. So, see, this is where the speaking in tongues come from. Because the Most High can speak any language through you to any people. He says, I'm not sending you to somebody that whose language you don't know, who don't know your language, who when you speak when you speak the word, my words to them, you don't even understand it. But they understand it because you speak it in their tongue. He said, I'm not doing that with you. I'm sending you to a people whose language you know and they know, and they will be able to understand what you're saying. They would have, and he said, but if I send you to a people whose language you didn't know and couldn't understand, and they heard these words, they would hearken unto you. They would listen to you. But the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee, will not listen to you, for they will not hearken unto me. So if they won't hearken unto me when I talk to them, they're not going to hearken unto you, son of man, even though you speak for me. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. Let's look up this word impudent real quick. And that's in verse 3. That is in the Hebrew, Hazak, Yahazak. Or chazak, strong, hard, bold, violent, harder, hottest, impudent, loud, mighty, sore, stiff-hearted, stronger. These are an impudent and hard-hearted. They're strong-hearted. They're stiff-necked. They are stubborn. He's telling them they're not going to listen. If I sent you to somebody else, they would listen, but not this people. Okay, let me get my bearing here. Behold, I have made thy face strong against their face, and they forbear, and their forehead strong against, and thy forehead strong against their forehead. I'm going to make you just as stubborn and stiff-necked as they are. And as an adamant harder than flint have I made thy forehead. I'm making you, flint is hard. When you strike it with a rock, it just sparks. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. Moreover, he said unto me, son of man, all my words that I speak unto thee, receive in thine heart, and hear with thine ears, and go, get thee to them of the captivity. So where are they at? They're in captivity. To the children of thy people, and speak unto them, and tell them, thus saith Yah Elohim, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. Then the Spirit took me up, and I heard behind me a voice of great rushing, saying, blessed be the glory of Yah from his place. And I heard also the noise of the wings of the living creatures that touch one another, and the noise of the wheels over against them, and the noise of the great rushing. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness, in the heat of my spirit, but the hand of Yah was strong upon me. So the Most High has lifted him up, put him on top of this platform that he's on, and they're gone. He's taking him where he wants to take him. Then I came to them of the captivity at Tel Aviv. So he was at the river Chaber. Now he's at Tel Aviv. The Most High delivered him there, that dwelt by the river Chaber. And I sat where they sat, and remained there astonished among them 7 days. And it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of Yah came unto me, saying, son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked ways, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require of your hand. So when the Most High tells you to tell somebody something, and if it be, you're going to surely die, or you're going to be blessed, whatever. He said, if I tell them that they are going to surely die, he says, and you don't tell them, they still going to die. But their blood will be on your hands because you didn't tell them. You didn't give them a chance to repent. And this is what we got to understand as priests of the Most High. Number one, when Yah says move, you move. When Yah tells you to do something, you do it. And if you don't do it, especially if it's to bring a judgment on someone, and you don't want to bring a judgment on them because, I don't like speaking like that, or I don't like saying that to people, or whatever it is. He says, they still going to die. My judgment is not going to change, but their blood is on your hands at that point because you didn't give them a chance to repent. You didn't give them a chance to change their ways. You didn't warn them. And again, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, I'm giving this person a chance. They're doing wickedness. I'm about to pronounce judgment on them. If they change their ways, I will repent of the judgment. I will not pronounce it on them, and they can save their life. The same wicked man shall die in his iniquity if you don't tell him and if you don't warn him. But his blood will I require at your hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. You have delivered your soul. I'm going to hold you accountable. So if you warn him and they don't turn from their wicked ways, then you've done what you're supposed to do, and you've delivered your own soul. Because if you didn't tell them, I'm still going to kill them. They're still going to die. But I'm going to require their blood at your hand. Again, when a righteous man does turn from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. See how many of us think that we can get away with just doing wickedness? And because a lot of times the scriptures say because judgment doesn't come speedily for us, he's dealing with his priesthood. I'm trying to get them straight. Judgment is coming quickly. And so we have to understand that if you are a righteous person and you do wickedness, the Most High says, I'm going to put a stumbling block in front of you and make you stumble, and you shall die because thou hast not given him the warning. Verse 21. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man. No, let me go back up here. Verse 20. Again, when a righteous man does turn from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because thou hast not given him warning, he shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he has done shall not be remembered. But his blood will I require at thine hand. So if I send you to a righteous man that has stumbled, and you don't warn him, the righteous man going to die too, just like the wicked man. Nevertheless, if thou will warn the righteous man that the righteous man sin not, and he does not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned also, thou hast delivered thy soul. So I'm going to hold you accountable if you don't tell them. If you tell them and they take the warning and they don't sin, they're going to live. But if they don't take the warning, being righteous or not, they don't believe you, or you didn't tell them. If you didn't tell them, I'm going to hold their blood on you. And so we got to understand as his people that when the Most High says to go tell somebody something, when he puts that in your spirit, you need to tell them. At least you find yourself being held accountable. Verse 22. And the hand of Yah was there upon me, and he said unto me, arise, go forth into the plain, and I will there talk with thee. And then I arose and went forth into the plain, and behold, the glory of Yah stood there. The glory of Yah stood there, as the glory which I saw by the river Tiber, and I fell on my face. So he's seeing the same vision, the same being, the same man, the color of amber. Then the Spirit entered into me and set me upon my feet and spake with me and said unto me, go, shut thyself within thine house. But thou, O son of man, behold, they shall put bands upon thee, and shall bind thee with them, and thou shalt not go out among them. And I will make thy tongue cleave to the roof of thy mouth, that thou shalt be dumb. They're going to bind you and tie you up, and I'm going to make it to where you can't speak to them. You can't warn them. And shalt not be to them a reprover, for they are a rebellious house. I'm not going to even let you warn them. Now, I'm going to cause this. But when I speak with thee, I will open thy mouth, and thou shalt say unto them, thus saith Yah Elohim, he that heareth, let him hear, and he that forbeareth, let him forbear, for they are a rebellious house. So I'm going to cause you, when they bind you, for your tongue to cleave to the roof of your mouth. And if you try sticking the tongue to the roof of your mouth and then trying to talk, you can't do it. And until I let you speak and warn them, you're not going to be able to say nothing to them. So I only want you to speak when I want you to speak to them. And when you speak to them, let him that hears and he that forbeareth, let him forbear. Let him stop what he's doing. And for they he that hear and he that forbears, let him forbear. For they are a rebellious house. So the Most High, yeah, I'm sending you to them, but this is a rebellious people. And they won't hear. I wonder, you know, if you go amongst our people, and you, especially today, you go amongst our people and you start talking like this among them, they ain't trying to hear you. They'll believe 1-800-PSYCHIC before they'll believe a man saying that he sent from the Most High to talk to them, to warn them. Because still today, Israel is a rebellious people. Rebellious. So nothing has changed but the date. Still in this condition. Ezekiel chapter 4. Thou also, son of man, take thee a tile and lay it before thee and portray upon it the city, even Jerusalem. Take a tile and draw the city of Jerusalem. And lay siege against it. Draw on this tile, and whatever you draw, fortresses, these whatever they used back in those days, to take a city siege. Take siege against it and build a fort against it and cast a mount against it and set the camp also against it and set battering rams against it round about. Draw this on them because this is what I'm going to bring on them. Moreover, take thou unto thee an iron pan and set for it a wall of iron between thee and the city. This iron pan, set it between you and the city on this drawing, or in this place, set that iron pan right there. And set thy face against it, and it shall be besieged. And thou shalt lay siege against it. This shall be the sign of the house to the house of Israel. So the Most High is saying, do these things to lay siege to the house of Israel. A stiff-necked people, a rebellious people. I want us to see how the Most High is working with the prophet. Lie thou also upon thy left side, and lay the iniquity of the house of Israel upon it. According to the number of the days thou shalt lie upon it, thou shalt bear their iniquity. For I have laid upon thee the years of their iniquity, according to the number of the days, 390 days, so shalt thou bear the iniquity of the house of Israel. And when thou hast accomplished them, lie again on thy right side, and thou shalt bear the iniquity of the house of Judah 40 days. I have appointed thee each day for a year. 40 years and 390 years. Therefore thou shalt set thy face toward the siege of Jerusalem, and thine arm shall be uncovered, and thou shalt prophesy against it. Now, how many of us could hear that and do that? Because, see, a lot of people don't want to hear things like this about the Most High. They said, this is a rebellious people, and I'm sending you to warn them, and whosoever will hear the warning, let them hear it, and they will live. And whosoever will not hear the warning, they shall die. You know, a lot of people will say, who only read the New Testament, will say, that's not the God of the Bible. That's not the Elohim of the Bible. He wouldn't do that. But we're reading it right here. And he will do it through his prophet. So when the Most High tells you, when you get a word from the Most High and he tells you to go do something, don't be disobedient, because he told Ezekiel, son of man, don't you be stiff-necked like these people are stiff-necked. When I tell you to go, you go. When I tell you to stay, you stay. If the Most High puts it in your spirit to tell somebody something, obey the Spirit. Do what the Spirit is telling you to say. Because, you know, normally, and of your own accord, you probably wouldn't say anything. But when the Most High unctions you to say it, you ought to say it. Lest their blood be on your hands. Therefore shalt thou set thy face toward the siege of Jerusalem, and thine arm shall be uncovered, and thou shalt prophesy against it. And behold, I will lay bands upon thee, and thou shalt not turn, and thou shalt not turn thee from one side to the other, till thou hast ended the days of thy siege. So if the Most High told you to go and lay on your side this many days, could you hear him? Could you do it? Would you be stiff-necked? And now, not only that, when you finish those days, I want you to lay on your other side for this other people. You see what the prophet, what may be required of a prophet? But the Most High, he says, even unto the asking of your life. He always tells you, if you're doing the work for him, don't fear. I'm not going to let anything happen to you. You might go through some pains that I'm going to put you through, because I'm going to project these things onto this people. Some people might say, oh, that sounds like witchcraft. It sounds like voodoo. If the Most High is telling you to do it, you need to do it. You need to know who's talking to you. That means you need to be in relationship, and you need to understand. Because a lot of our people can't hear this. They won't hear it. They are stiff-necked and hard-hearted toward the Most High. Because they're not going to believe you, because they won't even believe me when I come to them in a vision and a dream. So now I withdraw myself, and I'm sending you, because I'm about to judge them. Now, I really pray for each of us that we allow the Most High to talk to us. Because we are in rebellious times, and we are amongst a rebellious world. And if the Most High wants to use you, not saying that he will, but if he wants to use you to bring a message to the world, and you know that if you get that unction in your spirit, you can't be disobedient and you can't be afraid. And if it sounds like whatever he's telling you to do is crazy, because, you know, I want you to go lay on your left side for 390 days. That means the Most High had to provide food for him all that time because he wasn't allowed to get up and move. Don't even turn over. Lay on that side. Will we be obedient to the Most High? Or would we rebel? I'm not doing that. That's too long. Just ask him. Okay. Verse 8. And behold, I will lay bands upon thee, and thou shalt not turn thee from one side to another. Thou hast had, till thou hast ended the days of thy siege. Take thou also unto thee wheat and barley and beans and lentils and millet and fishes, and put them in one vessel, and make bread thereof, according to the number of the days that thou shalt lie upon thy side. 390 days shalt thou eat thereof. Now, think about this. You got to bring 390 days worth of food there. But it's got to be right there where you can prepare it because you ain't allowed to get up. And thy meat which thou shalt eat shall be by weight, 20 shekels a day, from one time to time shalt thou eat it. Thou shalt drink also water by measure, 6 parts of a hin, from time to time shalt thou drink. So he's telling them, bring this much food. This is how much you're going to eat in a day. This is how much water you're going to drink in a day for 390 days. And thou shalt eat as barley cake, and thou shalt bake it with dung that comes out of a man in their sight. Hear that. You're going to cook this food with doo-doo from a man. Dung from a man. From his own dung. And you're going to cook it in front of them. In their sight. And Yah said, even thus shall the children of Israel eat their defiled bread among the Gentiles, whither I will drive them. That's rough. See, because some of us may not know that cow dung, horse dung, camel dung, the dung of other animals, they used to use because it was mainly what? Did they eat meat? No, they ate grass and straw. So their dung would come out like that, and when it dries, it would still burn. So they used to use, a lot of the ancient cultures used to cook by the dung of animals. Let it dry out and light it up. But he says, no, you're going to cook with the dung of a man. So shall the children of Israel. They're going to eat defiled food. If the Most High told you to do that, could you do it? Verse 12 again. And thou shalt eat as barley cake, and thou shalt bake it with dung that cometh out of man in their sight. And Yah said, even thus shall the children of Israel eat their defiled bread among the Gentiles, wherever I will send them or drive them. Then said I, O Yah Elohim, behold, my soul has not been polluted. For from my youth up even till now have I not eaten of that which dieth of itself, or is torn into pieces. Neither came there any abominable flesh into my mouth. Ezekiel saying, hey, you're asking me to what? Defile myself. Then he said unto me, lo, I have given thee cow's dung for a man's dung. Thou shalt prepare thy bread therewith. So I'm telling you to cook it and make it look like it's what? Man's dung. But this is what the house of Israel is going to be using. They're going to be using after eat with the fuel of their own dung. But I'm not going to make you defile yourself. Here, I provide you with the dung of a cow. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, behold, I will break the staff of bread in Jerusalem, and they shall eat bread by weight with care, and they shall drink water by measure and with astonishment, that they may want bread and water and be astonished one with another and consume away their iniquity. So I'm setting a measure for the whole house of Israel. And this is what they're going to eat, bread and water by measure, and they're going to be astonished that this is all they can get. But I'm setting you, the prophet, to do these things. I bet you right now some of us wouldn't want to be a prophet. Some of us wouldn't want to be the person that the Most High is using. That's why when we read the prophets and we read about the Most High, we have to be, you know, we got to understand who we are dealing with. When he decides to pronounce judgment, he don't spare. He says, you have brought these things on yourself. And if you are the man or the woman of the Most High that I'm going to use, and I tell you to go say something and you don't go tell them because you're hard-headed, you're disobedient, don't think because you don't say it that the judgment is not going to come on them and they're not going to die. But I'm going to look at it as though you killed them. And I'm going to require their blood on your hands, on your head. Can we hear what the Most High is saying? So we don't want to be disobedient. We don't want to be stiff-necked and hard-hearted. That's why, you know, when people come to me and they ask advice or they ask, what do I think? Or, you know, I need prayer, whatever, I got to go before the Most High. Because I got to know what he says concerning this thing. And if he tells me to pronounce this judgment, I'm going to tell you exactly what I was told. Because if not, it's going to be on what? My head. If he does the same thing to you, you better be obedient and not be trying to, you know, spare somebody's feelings. Or, I don't know if that was the Most High that said that or not. You better say it anyway. Because we are in wicked times. And everything that comes out of your mouth ain't going to be a blessing. And when Yah starts to judge, just as he's judging here, he always uses a man or a woman of God to do it. So if he tells you to go and say, you need to be of a mind to go and say. And don't fear what they're going to say. Don't fear what they're going to do. Don't do it. Understand the times that we're in. Understand the condition of the world. Understand how everything is really contrary to the Most High. The churches are contrary to the Most High. The camps are contrary to the Most High. I don't say go speak on your own. You will know whether the Most High told you to go and say this. And if you know, it's just like, you know, I'm one to speak. But, you know, the Most High, you know, I'm driving. I'm pulling up to a subway. And I hear that's a woman of Yah. Didn't say Yah, a woman of God. And I was like, okay. Went in to go get my food. And coming out of the washroom, he said, go tell them that I've heard their prayer. I was not going to say anything to these people. Now, I'm just showing you where I was at. And I went and got back in my car. And do you know, he said, don't you know I will kill you? Pull back up. Let me go tell them what the Most High said. So I'm not telling you something that I've heard. Well, I did just tell you something I heard. But I'm telling you this actually happened. And I tell you about something I heard about someone else, or I just read in the scripture. Stiff neck was going to be disobedient. Trust me. I learned not to be that way. And the Most High didn't appear to me. I actually heard these words in my head. That's a woman of God. Go tell her her prayers have been heard. So I turn around, pull back up, walk back in there. Excuse me. Her and her husband were sitting there. You're a woman of God, right? She looked up and said, yeah. I said, the Most High wants me to tell you that your prayers have been heard. And her and her husband just broke out crying. And that was all I was told to tell them. So I turned around and walked out. See, because sometimes we can doubt who's speaking to us. And so when I heard this voice in my head, I'm not, you know, I am and I'm not. I have to be truthful. Was that me or was that the Most High? When he said, I will kill you, I knew who was talking. And then when I spoke to them, I knew that what I was saying to them, it was a message that they were waiting on. So I know when I'm telling you these things, it's not because I just read it in the scripture. I was in El Paso, Texas, at a, what do they call it? It's not like a church meeting, but it's a council meeting. All the churches from Arizona, New Mexico, and some from Texas, West Texas. We were meeting in El Paso. And I needed to go to the base there. There's an Air Force base. There were a couple, quite a few bases there, actually. And I said, well, I need to go to the base and cash a check. So I wrote this check out. I was at the hotel room, wrote this check out. Put it in my, you know, my top pocket in my shirt. Left and went to the base. Got to the base. The check wasn't in my pocket. So I'm looking all around the car seat and stuff like that. Can't find the check. Hadn't gotten out the car yet. Go back to the hotel and the check is on the bed. Now, while I was, when I first pulled up, I saw this woman, short afro. She was an officer, a lieutenant. And I didn't really think much of it. I just saw her. So I get the check, put it back in my pocket, go back out to the base, check my pocket. I don't have the check. Go back to the hotel room. The check is on the bed. So I put it in my wallet this time. Go back out to the base. Go cash the check. And then the spirit said, go get something to eat. I said, and I was using the word Lord at the time. I said, Lord, I'm not hungry. Go get something to eat. Okay. Specifically, go get a hot dog. Okay, Lord. I'll go get in a line. I get this hot dog and a drink. And I go to sit down, and here's this woman, this lieutenant that I saw earlier. like an hour and a half earlier. And ask her, can you sit with her? I'm like, Lord, I don't want to ask this woman, can I sit with her? So I get to the table, and I don't want to be disobedient anymore. And I just look down and say, excuse me. I said, can I sit with you? She sort of looked me up and down. She said, okay. So I sit down, and I introduce myself to her. I said, hi, you know, I'm Horace Miles, and I'm here with the Mountain States Council. And she says, I've been praying to God to send me an angel to answer questions that I have. I said, okay. I said, you got your Bible? She says, no. I said, I got my Bible in the car. So I went and got my Bible out of the car, came back, and this is about 12:30. I'm here for this council meeting, but we're not meeting until about, I think we were supposed to meet about 7 o'clock that night. But I sit here from this time until it's time to go, and I answer her questions. Every question she has in the scripture, I take her in the scripture and I show her. This is what it's about. This is what it's about. This is what it says. She said, can you baptize me? I said, I can't baptize you. I don't have a place to baptize you. I said, but what I will do, when I get back to the hotel, I will get with one of the pastors. I will call, you know, a church around here, and I will arrange for you to be baptized. She said, okay. I said, but you need to call me. I gave her my number. I said, you need to call me so I can give you the information. So I go to the council meeting, then I go back to the hotel. It gets to be about 11:30 at night. Don't have a call from her. Midnight, don't have a call. Close to midnight, she calls. Because I was starting to wonder, okay, Mosiah, what was that about? You know, did this really just happen today? And what was that about? And she calls. I give her the information, the pastor in the church that I had arranged for her to go be baptized in. She said, okay. She says, I'll be there. She said, will you be there? I said, no. I got to head back to Phoenix early in the morning because I want to be back and attend services at my own church in Phoenix. I said, okay. So I get back. I arrive back in Phoenix about 10, 11 o'clock in the morning. I go to morning service. We've been out of town, me and the pastor, so I'm not going back that evening. About 6 o'clock that evening, the phone rings, and the pastor that I called and referred this young lady to, he says, Brother Miles. I said, yes, sir. He says, the young lady that you sent to us, she came and she got baptized. He says, now, before I made the altar call, this young lady came and just ran and jumped in the baptismal. He said, so I went down and I baptized. He said, she came up out of the water speaking in tongues. He said, I want to know what you told her. I said, what do you mean? He said, what did you tell her to get her so excited? I said, well, what I told her, I answered her questions concerning salvation and her walk with the Most High, according to the scriptures. He said, well, will you come back and tell my church? And I told him, no, sir. He said, why not? I said, because that was a word for her. He said, the Most High hasn't told me to come there. Now, I didn't even go ask the Most High, should I go there? And I didn't go ask my pastor if I should go there, because there were some other things going on at the time. But the truth of the matter is, hindsight, I probably should have went and told my pastor that this pastor wants me to come back and teach his church the word of Yah, okay, the word of God, and concerning salvation. And it may have been fear in me, not wanting to, you know, get into the pulpit like that at the time. Because the Most High had already told me, you know, through my pastor that I was supposed to be a pastor. But I was still gunshot. But I had to learn through a couple of experiences that when the Most High speaks, to go and do what he said to do. speak to this person. He always sends us other people, even for myself. When it came to me learning that I was a Hebrew Israelite, even though the Most High told me that we were his people, he still had to send me somebody to explain it to me. Because in my spirit wouldn't see it through the right filter. The answer he gave me. And I was seeing it, oh, yeah, well, you know, we're Christians, we're your people. But that's not what I asked him, but that's where my brain was at. And so he had to send somebody to me to explain exactly what he meant. Show me in the scriptures, break it down. So we need to make sure if the Ruach HaKodesh, if he unctions you, if he puts it in your spirit, if you hear a voice, if you hear it in your mind, and you know it's not you talking, because we don't usually direct ourselves that way. Go do this. You don't usually talk to yourself that way. At least I don't. So if you hear it, you need to be obedient to it. And be not disobedient. And I just say I am blessed because the Most High has been most patient with me. And that's why now you won't see me falter. You won't see me hesitate. Why? Because of the experiences that I have had. And I know that the Most High is dealing with me. And we should all have those experiences because it should increase your faith. It should allow you to know that Yah is dealing with you. And if Yah is dealing with you, then you know that you're a child of his. Times are about to become very perilous. And Yah is going to want some people to hear some things. He's going to want to say some things to some people. If he chooses you to speak through, don't be afraid. Don't be rebellious. Don't be stiff-necked. I think that's why he told me to go to Israel. Because I was stiff-necked, just like Israel is. I had a measure of unbelief and doubt. Had a short memory. But Yah Elohim, and I thank him. I thank him that he didn't kill me. I thank him that he didn't allow me to die in my rebellion. But then he told me. And when he told me, trust me, he didn't have to tell me twice. If he tells you, don't let him tell you, have to tell you twice. Do what it is that he says to do. I don't care what you might perceive of the person. I don't care if you think they're righteous or if you think they're wicked. It's not your judgment. If Yah says to tell them whatever, you need to open up your mouth and say exactly what he tells you to tell them. If he gives it to you in a dream, you know, you can ask for confirmation. Is it you, Most High? Is it you that is telling me to do this? Not that you're being disobedient, but sometimes we may not be used to hearing the voice of the Most High. And sometimes we might think it's ourselves. Or what spirit is this talking to me? Ezekiel was shown a vision more than once. And he met with the Most High even out on the plain. We may not get that type of vision to reassure us. You may only hear a small, still voice. And again, that in your head, you may not hear it. Like when I came down the stairs, I heard an audible, "I will not forever call you." I heard that. But the Most High sometimes it speaks to me in my head. And I know that it's not me. Somebody said, "You crazy." I'm just telling you how I know that he operates. Sometimes he'll give me a dream, a vision, wake me up in the middle of the night, 2-3 o'clock in the morning, telling me things, showing me things. So no, if Yah tells me, like I said, from that point forward, Yah tells me, I don't doubt it. I just go and do it. I just go and say it. Whenever it is. Not even a second thought. Not even questioning it, because I'm very fortunate that he allowed me the leniency that he allowed me, because he didn't have to do it. And as I've told you guys before, I shouldn't be here. For that alone, I shouldn't be here. The Most High could have just said, "You know what? Your iniquity shall be on you." And whatever, sickness or some robber or somebody, you just die out of disobedience. But, you know, I think what happened was, because I was, let's say, in my infancy, I said that the Most High gave me leniency, but he didn't kill me. And I have to, you know, I can't thank him enough for that, because he had all the right in the world to do so. Even if, you know, I might have think that he was unjust doing it. He is the Most High Elohim. Can't question his motives. If you say that you want to be his servant, you want him to use you, then you have to make yourself, one, available. Number two, you have to listen, and you have to do. So I want to encourage each and every one of you, if you hear the voice of the Most High, I want to exhort you. From my own experience, go and do what the Most High said to do. I was told to go by land. I'm going to go by land. Because what's coming, he didn't give me a time frame, but I know I can't play with this. I can't play around with it. There has to be some things that are in place. And go buy some land and make it rural. You know, I've been having people trying to show me properties in the cities. You know, it came into my heart and into my mind to you know, maybe it should be a hotel. But I'm like, that's not what I was told. So that's the enemy. It's not what I was told to do. Told to go buy some land, make it rural. There's going to be a time when it's time to get out of these cities. You have to have some place to go. And preferably some place that you've already been, that you can, you know, be kind of set up, you can survive. It's going to get bad. So when the Most High says, get up and go, we want to be faithful to that. Now, he may only be putting this on my heart. Maybe he hasn't told it to anyone else. I don't know. I just know that I have to be obedient to what he's put in me to do. And when he says, get up out of the city, I'm going to be getting up out of the city. Not going to be worried about a job, not going to be worried about, you know, any of this stuff, because what's going to be happening? And you already know that they're going to be trying to force people to take, you know, the COVID vaccine. There's going to be other plagues that come, other judgments that come. And the world is going to steadily be trying to force us into doing what they're doing. And I know I'm not supposed to. And you have to do what the Most High puts in your heart. But we want to be like Ezekiel, obedient. And many of us, you know, we feel something. We feel like something's going to happen, but the Most High hasn't revealed just what it is, but we feel it. Been feeling it for a while. It says, when you see these things, get out of the city. I believe we are closer to them than what any of us really think. We are closer to it than we believe. So just like, you know, I was in New York, hadn't been working for about a year, had to take a job, I needed a job, couldn't get a job locally. Every job, you know, and I wanted to go to work for Amazon, and every job they had, I applied for a job here in Phoenix. They said, nah, you're too qualified. We want to send you to be an engineer in New York. I don't want to move to New York. But that's where the Most High wanted me at. And so I leave and I go to New York for 3 years. And right before, a month before COVID breaks out, because I'm riding public transportation, riding the bus, they're packing you on there like sardines, riding the train, they're packing people on there like sardines. A month before COVID broke out, Most High said, it's time to go home. The team structure and everything for the team I was on in Amazon, I was the only one on the team in New York. I told them, hey, I'm going back to Phoenix. I'm working right now. I'm working 4 days a week, 3 days at home, coming into the office only one day just to be, you know, so that I can have lunch with people that are in New York in that office. I said, but I don't really need to be in the office. So I moved back to Phoenix. COVID breaks out. The Most I knew when to have me to leave there, because I have, you know, the conditions that it probably would have killed me had I gotten it without his protection. Nevertheless, he wouldn't let me be exposed to it. Moves me out of New York. COVID breaks out. And now he's put it in my heart. You need to go get some light. And you need to go get it rural. And so I have to be obedient to that and do that. Because I know something is coming. And for everybody who's caught up in the city, it's not going to be It's not going to be good. It's not going to be good. So I pray we hear and that if the Most High puts it on your heart, that you start preparing as well. That you start preparing as well. That being said, let's bow our heads. Father Yah, we thank you tonight for your word. We thank you for the prophet Ezekiel, who you gave the vision of yourself, and that he would describe you for us, that we might have in our mind that you exist, that your prophets have seen you, even in a vision, and that you would allow them to describe you to us, that we might fear you, that we might be obedient to you. Father, we thank you for the prophet and his example that he set in his obedience to you. And that when he had concern that what you were going to make him do was going to defile him because he had never eaten anything that was uncommon. He had never eaten anything that had died of itself or was torn. That you made a way for him, that he wouldn't defile himself, even though you were telling him to do it. Father, we know that you will always take care of us, and that you will provide. When the world goes into chaos, it will be you that is our protection. It will be you that we count on. It will be you that we call upon, Father. And we will be obedient to you in all things. Speak to us. Visit us in the night. Give your word to your people. Tell us what to do, when to do it, how to do it. We want to hear from you, Father. We want to hear from you. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. All right. On tomorrow morning, spiritual wellness. We're still dealing with our roots. Things that we need to come back to as a people. We are in a nation that allows us to worship whatever we want to worship however we want to worship, as long as we're not taking somebody's lives, because then, you know, they're going to come against that, and we're not trying to take nobody's lives. I'm just making a point. We need to get back to our roots as a people, men and women. Can't be wearing the garb of the world. Can't be portraying and projecting that we are of the world. Our dress has to reflect that of modesty. Holiness. We need to go back to where the Most High first chose us as a people. This is what I want. And so if we are wearing those things that don't leave anything to the imagination, because we've just gotten used to it, oh, yeah, I can wear these skin-tight pants or whatever. I'm not trying to attract nobody, but you don't never know who you attract, and does it reflect how the Most High wants you to dress? Does it reflect modesty and holiness? Same way for the men. And, you know, we just have to get this nature where, you know, our women typically have come to reject this, but we have to put them in a position of protection, of honor. And they need to be held accountable, men and women. And so we have to go back to our roots. We want to talk about those things in the morning. Our young women, you know, our young men. Because they're out here, you know, I hate to go on Facebook and see any of my nieces or my nephews. The men don't seem to be as crazy as some of my nieces, but I'm like, come on. I'm your uncle, and I don't want to see you like that. And so we have to tell. You shouldn't be dressing like that. And they ain't going to want to hear it. Still got to tell them. And, you know, I don't have a problem telling them. And they may not want to hear from Uncle Junior ever again. But, you know, the truth of the matter is, I cannot not say something. Y'all won't allow me to do that. And so, you know, starting with your own family, you know, it's easy to tell a stranger, but starting with your own family, you ought not be dressing that way. You ought not be presenting yourself that way. Even my own daughters. You know, you're grown. I can't tell you what to wear, but I'm going to tell you that ain't godly. And you ought not be going out dressed that way. So we as a people have to get back to our own roots. And maybe we have a generation that just won't hear it. And maybe they are a lost generation, and we do the grandchildren. But the truth of the matter is, we cannot say that we are the children of the Most High and then do things that are contrary to Him. And we have to tell our young people, even with a lot of the music that they listen to. I don't even know a lot of the stuff that they listen to because I don't listen to it. But, you know, some of the stuff I've heard don't leave nothing to the imagination. You know, so we have to call them to a different understanding. You know, I look at, you know, I'm very particular about my own family, and a lot of times I don't say stuff. You know, about my blood family, I don't say stuff. And sometimes, you know, they are celebrating things that I really just can't take part in it. I can't even congratulate them on it. If I was a different person, if I was worldly, I probably could do it. But I can't. So I just keep my mouth closed. But I think they know. But, you know, there's going to come a time where I have to start speaking against these things for their soul's sake, if the Most High says to do it. And, you know, it's coming into my spirit that it's going to need to be done. But for their soul's sake, because if I don't say it, then their blood will be on whose hands? Mine. So if they will not be stiff-necked and hard-hearted, if they will hear, then they shall be saved. And if they will not, then I have done what I'm supposed to do. And each and every one of us have that responsibility. We fear we're going to lose family. We fear we're going to lose friends. We fear we're going to be outcast or the black sheep or whatever it is. Most of us say, fear not. And I love them. I really do. I don't have any nieces or nephews or any part of my family that I don't love because they're blood. And that's very big, you know, that's very big for me. Don't, you know, I don't have to talk to you every day. If you come to me and your family, your blood, your family. And if I can help, I will help. You know, that hasn't happened. But with one of my brothers. But the truth of the matter is, I probably will lose a lot of my family. And that's going to have to be okay. Because it's not a judgmental thing. It is, I don't want to see you go to the lake thing. And because I really do love you, I have to tell you. So pray for me. Pray for my family. I pray for yours and for you. Because the scripture says the ones who will come against you first is going to be family. That being said, I pray that Yah encamps his angels around you. I pray that they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I love you, but the Most High Elohim loves you way more. Shalom, family. Go get some sleep or some rest or whatever it is that you need. Yah bless you.
So what can I do? If I don't have you, it's all about you. Cause without you, there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahoo, who are you? Without you, there's no need. I need a hand, cause I'm just